Welcome to the Ether. Today is Saturday, May 28th, 2022. Today on the Ether, a CeFi space. Luna, today again. Let's take a listen.
Hey guys, I'm going to let some folks trickle in here. Hopefully people got their airdrops and whatnot. We can share some more stories, see how things are going. We'll give folks a minute. If you haven't noticed, you've got to log into the Terra Station web dApp to see your vesting and staked Luna positions. If you just simply hop onto your wallet, it won't show your positions at this point. So the little bit of Luna dust in your wallet is actually just your unvested airdrop. Actually, let me see. Somebody has a speaker request here. Not sure how to say your name, Los Conqui or Los Conquis. Go ahead, man. What's up? Flynn, you there?
Hi, bros. How's it going?
What you doing, man?
Yeah.
Doing pretty good. What's your story?
Yeah, nothing much. Me get some airdrop and sell it as much as fast as could. Yeah, I don't think that Terra 2.0 can do the thing as much as Terra 1. So I sell it, and I think in some time, maybe I would buy it back in some much lower price, like $1 or maybe even lower.
Yeah, sounds reasonable. I took the Luna that I got in the unvested airdrop piece. I didn't stay up last night to kind of sit and watch the ticker. I was kind of like, whatever. I took a little bit of Luna. I got dust in my wallet. I sent it to KuCoin. Sold that maybe in the $6.50, $7 range, something like that. And which is pretty much what a lot of people are going to do. So I think you're right. The futures price sort of old Luna, the amount of buying pressure on the old Luna has a little bit of a little bit of relationship to maybe what the floor price of Luna will be. That's equilibrium price looks like it might be around $3. But I think it's crypto, so it's anything, going below that is pretty feasible. I would say anyone with any major amounts of money is probably paying attention and selling some today. I think that's and then there's going to be some people who are taking remaining dust and UST and other shit, and they're going to be buying probably Luna, the new Luna on the drop too. And then there's a question of positioning for maybe LPs, possibly, depending on what kind of offers are on the new DEXs. Astroport's confirmed to be moving. And I believe Phoenix Finance, is doing one.
I checked out the Phoenix, but they still not come out in the mainnet currently. I think that is kind of disappointed of this point, because there's no DEX for Terra. Currently, people just can sell their new Luna and do nothing, right? So
you can sell your new Luna on some exchanges. So
As far as
LPs and such, I think the LPs will probably have fairly good volume for the coming 6 months. They will have to have some kind of stable coin on the system to do like a Luna USDC or something like that. And then there will, of course, be some of the altcoins. Like there might be a Luna Astro LP, for example, or something along those lines. And that might be worthy. I tend not to buy LP tokens, like LP, I tend not to buy DEX tokens personally. I tend to, if I'm going to get them because I think it's a strong DEX, I might participate in the LP and get the rewards, but I tend not to buy the primary token of the DEX unless it's super low price. Like how Astroport had their original lock drop, and then I think it dropped to like 50, 60 cents. I don't remember what it was, but it did pretty good if you bought at the bottom. This is the same is going to be true of this Luna as well. Because if you think about it, like, even if the market cap was, let's say, $1 billion and Luna's worth $1, like, you can still do, you're going to still be able to do a lot more on Terra than you can do on lots of other similarly priced L1s. That's not to say that, like, some of those L1s may have potentially stronger growth stories or something like that, but this is still like a fairly reasonable network effect chain with lots of wallets, with lots of known users, with people that know how to use the UI UX, and ultimately, you know, you're always going to be surprised at how many people are going to gamble on the next Luna, you know, like that's,
I'm highly agree. You know, people
put it this way, like, in other words, like, think about it this way, like, you know, the kind of nuttiness that happens at Doge and SHIB, for example, you know, those kinds of things like happen throughout crypto. So I think, in a future bull market scenario, you will have lots of users, all of your staked coins will be earning some yield. And even if like the price of Terra is like, let's say it's at $1, maybe, you know, during a bull run, you know, with a mixture of like your yields, like a couple of years from now, let's say you make 20% more. And there's like a you know, a bullish like market push, you know, you know, you might foresee like maybe a $4 or $5 equilibrium point at some point in the future, which I think is reasonable. It depends on how much crap is built on Terra, though, like you said. But yeah, go
ahead. Yeah, sure. Yeah, but I totally agree your point that people extremely willing to bet the next Luna, even though there is a next Luna that we already have right now, right? Terra 2.0. That people wanted to become us to become much greater than Terra 1.0. People love to gambling and they believe they won't be the last person in this game, right? Although
Asia in particular, I would say, loves to gamble even more so than even the West.
I'm Asian, and so I'm totally agree with you because I'm a gambling person here. But I'm still rational with this point because I think you can see if some exchange still opening the pair of Luna Classic and USDT, something like that, and the US. And the Luna Classic has crashed already currently. I think that is some signal that people have no faith in Luna currently. So and all the big funds like Delphi, Jump, Hash, they didn't give the signal that they would participate with this new chain right now. So it will be a really big challenge for Du to create some new thing here right now, I think. And this craft want to build it in the Terra 2, they have to, you know, because if they don't build in Terra 2, they are nowhere to go, like something like Prism and Anchor and something and some shit like that. They have to if they want to build something, right? So yeah, that's my point. So I will watch it, Terra 2, and I see if they can bump up like they used to do. Yeah.
Well, venture capital is kind of like cash strapped now anyway, to some extent. And typically VCs and whatnot like to get in really early. So like, there would be, venture capital likes funding rounds more than they like a coin that's already been launched. Because they want, a venture capital prefers to have a coin at a penny and sell it at a dollar and have their initial like 50 or 100x pretty much insured right from the beginning. So I believe you're right. Like, I don't think you're going to see a lot of like sort of like institutional funds showing up in any meaningful way. There might be a few gamblers out there, but you never can tell. But I think,
Yeah, sure.
yeah. And as far as inflationary yield-bearing tokens are concerned, take your pick, right? There's so many options out in the market. So there's not, it's not unique from that perspective. So really, it's entirely going to be based on what the community accomplishes, pretty much entirely, right? So we'll see how it goes. Flynn, did you have a, I'm sorry, I'm I was going to say, did, yeah, any other comments or?
Yeah, pretty much currently now, people, other people can have their comment. Yes, I would love to hear other comment of. I think
Sure.
this today's launch is kind of boring. It's much boring than that I thought. People is not exciting for the Terra 2, right? And not much people talk about it. Is Terra 2 is some rare thing they can attract attention in this bear market, but still, I think it's boring. Yeah, and I,
Well, it'll take time. I think the opportunities will be there. And I think the opportunities will be there when it gets even more boring.
yeah.
So
I think
I
it's
do
most
I do
of
think
fun is because.
the next 6 months is worth watching to see, like, looking for some nice deals on things in the ecosystem.
Yeah, sure. But it's bear market right now, so there is a ton of project and chain that you can looking for or invest. I can invest my money in Ethereum is much safer, right? And much insurable because the in bear market everything is shit. So yeah,
Yeah,
that's my
although I
point.
would say that like there's no guarantee that Ethereum doesn't hit 500 either, by the way. So I don't know about
I think
safe.
we're
I
back
think it
to
depends on
AC.
I think it depends on when you bought it. I wouldn't necessarily assume anything about price action in terms of like safety is not maybe not the best word to use. But anyway.
I mean,
Sure.
one thing that's clear in a bear market, Bitcoin dominance goes up. So if you're gonna hold crypto, usually Bitcoin is the safest. Otherwise, most altcoins get wrecked in a bear market.
Yeah,
So
sure. Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, the
now,
basic principle here is everything is shit. So you just pick the more valuable shit that you bought in bear
I would note
market.
that we, the bear market has already been almost 6 months, so time flies, and bottoms will be oftentimes found within the next 6 months, wherever that is. And then, once the charts look like they've sort of, created like a bull pattern, or sort of like, you might see even a double bottom like we did previous years. But the question in my mind is not so much where the bottom is or exactly, but when and how long does a bear market last? So the key feature of like an adoption super cycle is not so much that you don't get volatility. That's incorrect. There's a sawtooth pattern of super cycles where you'll have like mini bubbles and mini bears and mini bubbles again. And it tends to be much more like a sawtooth trading pattern. You can go back and look at Apple, over the past, I don't know, like look at Apple over the last, like, since about 2000, let's say, five or so onwards, you know, like with the advent of sort of like the iPhone and everything. Look at that chart, and I think that gives you a good sense of the type of things to expect. You don't necessarily have a comm market or some kind of up-only situation, that's for sure. What super cycle price action looks like in crypto, I'm not sure exactly, but we do know that a lot more people are in crypto now than, let's say, 5 years ago, like a lot more. The metrics are pretty extensive as far as looking at general like number of people who are playing in crypto and using it. It's still a relatively small portion of the world population, but we definitely brought like the people in NFTs definitely brought a lot of new people that weren't here before. That's for damn sure. Especially people that are like way less, I would say, finance savvy. But maybe more like art savvy or in it for the fun or entertainment or whatever. So you have a much wider audience today than you did like several years ago. But I do know one thing, and that is during the bear markets is when everyone's always afraid and they act like little babies and they don't buy anything. And then they basically miss all bottoms anyway. So I remember when I was telling people to buy Bitcoin at 3K. And then all I heard was, oh, it's a Ponzi and it's going to go to 2K and 1K. Like the reality is that like whenever the bottom, so-called bottom hits, you'll miss it unless you have some kind of like consistent planning. And, you know, you have a budget that makes sense for you. But anyway, for Luna, I think overall market condition, a lot of Luna's growth, if you think about it, happened during relatively bullish conditions, the Luna 1. With Luna 2, that's not necessarily the case. And it's, like you said, it's in the quagmire with everybody else. And therefore, like, you know, an argument could have been made that even Luna 1, had it not crashed, might have gone, you know, considerably more sideways for the next 6 months anyway. But In this situation, what I'm going to do personally is, if I feel like Luna dropped to a price where I feel like I can double my Luna count compared to what I have now, double meaning like, you know, probably the cost goes down to like, maybe like that dollar range, maybe I'll probably go look to double my position, maybe triple it, and then like stake it and save it. That's what I'm thinking. As far as like the, if you look at centralized exchanges, there's going to be more available shares to short. And there's going to be more available Luna to sell in the grand scheme of things compared to like the number of buyers on the market, I think. So my guess is that, you know, you had this initial pump where people had like were gambling last night, pumped it up. That created a little bit of like exit liquidity for people who woke up this morning and just started like, you know, sending their Luna to the exchanges and started to sell. There are also people, and I don't know what has happened to people's wrapped Luna and whatnot on different exchanges. Hopefully folks have had the opportunity to like, do something with their wrapped Luna from the perspective of selling and such. I don't know. I think Coinbase, like, I don't know if they delisted it or what the hell they did anyway, but some places people are having trouble with their old coins. So looking at my airdrops, just as like analyzing that, I definitely got airdrops for the Luna that I had as bonded Luna in Anchor Protocol for borrowing. And I definitely got, I think I got the Luna based on my P Luna that I had in my wallet, which you know, pre-DPEG, I think I had like maybe 70% of my P Luna. I had Y Luna sitting there that ended up going, I think we got nothing for that, which is interesting. But, and I had some of my P Luna I had actually converted to Prism tokens. So I don't know if Prism is going to try to do a Prism airdrop for their Prism pre-DPEG token holders. I didn't sit around waiting for the post-DPEG like snapshot. I basically got nothing for that of any relevance. I pretty much wasn't sure what was going with on with that, and I sort of like sold and cleared out as much and as many things in the ecosystem that I could just get rid of, preserve that cash so that I could like buy back in afterwards and not necessarily trust, you know, various like protocols and their airdrops. I do know that, like, okay, Astroport is doing some snapshots, so I'll be getting some from the pre-DPEG Astroport. I otherwise sold my Astroport tokens, which maybe I should have, maybe I shouldn't have. Mars announced that it's going to go on a new chain. So I did get my Mars counted for airdrop on the new chain. I don't know what the new chain is going to be worth and all that, but I suspect my Mars will be worth more on the new chain than it was on the in the previous iteration. And that's because, you know, there will be a bunch of new people that show up and just, you know, grab some Mars tokens just because it's a brand new chain. I think Kujira is in the same boat. They are starting a new chain. So if you got a snapshot from your Kujira tokens, then you could have sold your Kujira after that. And that's exactly what I did. I just cleared out whatever I had. I think I converted it to UST maybe. And I think I sent it off to KuCoin and sold it. What else? I'm trying to think what other protocols are relevant right now. Yeah, those are the three, you know, slightly bigger ones. I think Pylon had mentioned that if you had UST in Pylon Gateway, they forgot to index that somehow. I have no idea how they forgot, considering like 8board shows you all the different protocols. They could have just gone down the list. But Pylon said nobody that had UST on Pylon Gateway got any snapshot of that UST. I had a sizable chunk on there. I mean, it wasn't serious, so I don't really care about that. I was able to exit some of my Pylon Gateway positions. I don't remember what price I sold a lot of that UST at. I think I sold it at maybe 30 cents on the dollar or something like that.
So yeah, I sold mine for like 40 cents on the dollar. Yeah, it was pretty late by then.
It might be the same boat as you. I wish they'd have unlocked their shit like really early, but they didn't. So we got, yeah, I think it might've been 30, 40 cents like you. And then I got some, I was able to sell some things like mine tokens and this and that I happened to have. So I was able to recover some residual value there. But I didn't really leave it all sitting there for the snapshot for new Luna. Why? Because I figured immediately after snapshot, UST would go, or Luna, old Luna would go to zero or close to it. And, you know, I figured like it's a gamble then, it's a gamble now. I'll just sell it all, clear it out on KuCoin, and then take my cash, and then I can buy the new Luna with it if I really choose to at that point, right? So I'd rather buy it of my own volition than just sort of have it and then, you know, hope for the best. Plus, like, by selling it, I don't have to lock up the tokens. I can get fresh ones that I could speculate on if I wanted to. So I was sort of like wanting to keep the freedom in my hands at that point, which is why I went that route. But anyway, let me get Royal Pirate up here. He's hanging out here.
Yeah, I have some questions.
Go ahead.
I want to hear some of your opinion. Is what will be the stable coin situation on the Terra 2? What do you guys think?
I don't think anything's announced yet. Astroport probably will bring in... I would think Astroport will continue its sort of like curve style voting escrow dynamics in the future, and they'll probably be the primary platform where stablecoins will be traded. I would guess that they're going to bring in, somehow they're going to work on bringing in either Tether or USDC or both. I know that Osmosis is bringing in IBC native Circle USDC, which would then allow you to bring that in via IBC to Terra 2 and then put it into an LP. So that might be our best bet ultimately. But then the question becomes like, well, why do you need Astroport then? You might as well use Osmosis, right? Like, why have this secondary DEX? I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm still not sure that like a DEX belongs on a native wallet in IBC, or long term the more scalable solution anyway is something like Osmosis. But anyway, that's just a technical question mark.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think there will be still algo stable coin that might do my separate way from Terra 2 and create it like same like a separate project to for Terra 2. I think people who already done this, they are toxic to the pattern they already success, right? Because Luna is successful. Luna 1.0 is successful because UST, right? So who can get rid of that successful pattern?
Now, like, the thing is, like, who would I trust with a new stablecoin? Like, A, credible programmers, and B, people who have witnessed this thing take place? Or, like, you know, would I trust a whole bunch of another set of newbies to come in and start some sort of algo stable coin of some kind? I think the reality is that there were no technical glitches that happened. TFL is highly credible when it comes to their technical execution. Now, whether or not, like, you can create something with some sort of rational math and create like a Disney dollar like situation where you have a stable coin that only lives on our layer one and can be used within our layer one, that's a different question. I think that's possible. You know, I think you could create a, you know, you could do a Luna UST part two, you know, but only have it on the layer one. Don't export it to exchanges. Don't do anything. Don't bridge it. Just leave it only on the layer one and guarantee one-to-one remittance only on the layer one. Outside, it's like there's no peg, there's no shit, right? Like that would work. But how popular it'd be, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think Steady Lad, or I think Royal Pirate, I think had a question.
Yeah, it's me. Oh, no, I just want to let everyone know, Alice got an airdrop. So if you have your Alice app, go to the advanced settings and you can export your key. I had a bunch of money on there. So just wanted to remind everyone, there's nooks and crannies where there's a lot of airdrops happening, and people will realize it a little later. So if you have an Alice account, they posted instructions on how to export your key and import it into a new wallet. I suggest that. I had about a year's salary on there and was able to salvage something off of there. That's really what I just wanted to let everyone know. On the way to do family stuff. Safi, I appreciate everything you're doing and keeping people informed. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, you too, brother. Have a good one.
In my point, I think there will be a new maker or new frax in Terra 2.0. But I don't know if TFL will create them for Terra 2.0.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a much safer model here. People with trust have more credit on that, right? It's better than the UST.
Yeah, I mean, well, but here's the thing. Like, generally, people, quote-unquote, don't really know what's technically sufficient. So what the people trust and what's actually technically going to work are basically two different things. So I think you have to have a mix of both.
Totally
you have to have technical proficiency and trust. Yeah. But anyway, not even a point in like covering all that. I think what will happen first and foremost is there'll be a centralized stablecoin that will come to Osmosis. Well, there already is on Osmosis, but there'll be a Cosmos native Circle implementation, most likely, according to Sunny. And then from there, we can decide, I suppose, if that's what's going to be used, or I don't know if like Astroport is going to come up with any other plans, but I don't think we have enough. I don't think there's enough like on Terra, there's enough sort of like political clout to get Circle to release like a Terra native USDC. I don't think there's enough traffic on Terra to warrant that. I think Osmosis is probably going to be it from the perspective of like Circle creating a Cosmos native USDC. You guys understand what I'm talking about, right? Not an ERC-20 USDC, not a Tron USDC, a Cosmos native USDC, which would have to be produced and issued specifically by Circle to get us that. I think that's probably a good start. I'm not a really big fan of Tether or USDC anyway, from the perspective that like I don't usually have a major portion of my net worth in either of those two coins. So, you know, if you want like you know, credible decentralization and censorship resistance, then some of your, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Layer 1s are still going to be your primary choice. The only problem is, of course, you have to be exposed to volatility with those. The whole point of trying to create UST decentralized in the first place was so that you have, you know, the ability to have a sovereign stable, which basically we don't have at this point. So I just use the stables anyway as a trading instrument. I don't use them in any meaningful way to park my net worth there. Because think about it this way, like, why wouldn't you just use cash then? Right? Like, why would you just have money in a bank account? If you could have censorship, why even take the risk of having your money with Circle or Tether at that point? So to me, I'd rather just have straight cash fiat, or I'd rather have like, you know, a Bitcoin or Layer 1. I'm not a huge fan of holding too much, unless I'm getting some, you know, I have some USDC on Voyager where I earn some yield. I'm getting like 7 to 9% or 7 to 10% yield, depending on what portion of my portfolio. So I do have some of that, but anyway, that's just my take on stables. Yeah, I think Jaws had a comment too.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, hi, I'm a French guy, just I mean a kind of noob in the crypto. I have one of my good friend that is one of the owner of Swissborg that asked me, like, he told me that I must go in the game because it started to move a little bit. There is a new thing that is started coming back. So I started to buy Luna before what happened, like at the beginning of the month, a little bit, just for see how it was going. And then when it went down, I started to put back money on top, like after the attack. And I thought that it would rise again. And I didn't understand because many stuff went on Twitter. Don't worry, we'll go back again, a new version, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know, no good information about it. So at the end, I was starting to put money back, like hoping that everything will rise again. And now that I'm checking that everything is moving in the wrong way for me, I don't understand what will happen for the people that own the V1. And
there was a snapshot a couple of days ago. And if you had did you have your Luna on a wallet or on an exchange?
On the change, that's why.
Which exchange was it? Just if you don't
I
mind
had on Binance and on Coinbase.
Yeah, so Binance is going to give you the new Luna coin as an airdrop.
Okay.
But the old Luna coin, I would say, is you know, outside of just like speculative fun, it's basically useless. But Binance will be giving you the new coin. I don't know if they've done that already or not. You might check your wallets.
Actually, for the moment, everything is locked because even all my like Luna V1 are totally locked. I can't do anything until like 24 hours. They said until the 13th of May, everything is locked. On Coinbase, because I had also Wrap Luna, but the Luna V1 are locked until the 30th of May. That's what they said to me.
Yeah, the Coinbase situation is idiotic. So yeah, unfortunately.
And so also,
yeah, Coinbase is not very helpful in this situation.
But also on Binance, they told me that like an hour ago, that everything is locked. You have to wait until the 13th of May. You can't touch your money. You can't touch anything.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. I'm not sure how to help you. I don't use Binance, so I'm not 100% sure what to do there.
What do you use?
I've been using KuCoin more for Luna at least. And they have delivered the new airdrop. So I got the new Luna. You can sell the old Luna. Everything's pretty much open at the moment.
Okay, good. But do you think that the V1 that we have actually that will move again because it's going down so much? This is crazy.
People held the V1 only for the airdrop like snapshot 2 days ago. I don't think the V1 is going to do very much. I could be wrong. People might speculate and just play around, but it's basically like a meme. It's a meme coin now, essentially. Like, there's nothing happening on V1.
Okay, so it will still going down. So it's better to sell it right now.
I have no idea. Like, it might go up. Yeah. Like, who knows? But yeah, there's no obvious future for Luna Chain 1. So you know, I wouldn't.
But like, it's good to take your advice.
Let me tell you what I did. I sold all my Luna V1 at this point for reference. Again, do what you want to do, but I sold mine.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear about someone that like is an expert that know many things about it. So, cause I'm listening very much and I don't even know in which way I have to take information from who, but the way that I'm listening to you, I can understand that I have to trust someone at some point. So
it's a bit of a guess. Like, you might have people speculate and pump the coin again or something. Who knows? So like, I might tell you one thing, it might go the other way, but I'm watching for the Luna 2 coin to drop and watching for maybe some possible entries on that personally. But like I said, I the $3, $2, $1 range looks pretty interesting. Might try to get some more at that point personally, but again, no guarantees of any success.
I got some new of the V2 on BTrue. I bought it already. The V2.
Okay. Yeah, I think it might be a little early to be buying too much of it. I suspect it's probably going to find an average price in the, you know, maybe $3 and below range is my target. I don't know if that's true though, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, and that's what
I just put $20. I just put $20 just for.
Just to keep an eye on it. Yeah, why not?
Just I will wait a little bit more and let's see. But probably you will drop till 3 or 2 something.
Yeah, it's too bad your first experience in crypto is this shit show, but
that's the game, though. That's the
well,
game.
Hopefully you'll have a lot better future going forward. Good luck to you, man.
Yeah, I think half the shit show. Thank you very much for your information. Much thank better you than is much yeah. better than years ago. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Flynn is probably right. It's better to come in at the end of the shit show than to be there at the very top of it and have your money go all the way down. here, let me get Asoj on here.
It's just Ashu.
Ashu. Okay, go ahead, man.
So if you had your Wrap Luna shuttled to the Terror Station, is they giving you one for ones?
Wrap Luna to Terror Station.
Because you converted back into Luna.
Yeah, you'll get it's the old Luna though, if you bridge it. And the old Luna is not really worth very much. You might be able to send Wrapped Luna to KuCoin still as well. Let me check actually for you. Because KuCoin, you can actually sell there too.
But if you had it in Luna Station as of a couple of days ago, it would be, would it be valid, like for the Snapchat shot?
Yeah, I think it was like 2 days ago, like around 48 hours around this time, I believe it was. Did you get the snapshot or you're not sure?
I'm not sure. I shuttled it to the Terra Station from Coinbase.
So what you want to do now, if you want to check to see if you got it, is open your Terra Station wallet on your phone or whatever, and connect it and check. Go to Terra Station. Hold on, let me give you the actual the address.
I'm on it now. I'm on it right now. Yeah, I'm on the Terra Station right now. It's just saying like I have UST. The equivalent of my Luna is in UST.
No. You've got to go to the web dApp for station.terra.money. It'll show you. So, okay. You know what I'm talking about? So type in your web browser station.terra.money and then go there, connect up your wallet, and you'll hit, there's like a menu button for wallet. And you're going to see your coins, but you're also going to see your vesting Luna down below. And that's where you're going to see how much airdrop you got.
Okay, thank you.
You're not going to be able to see it just by opening your regular wallet. You have to go to the station.terra.money's actual page because the wallet hasn't, the phone wallet hasn't been fully updated yet to get all the data. If you're on the web version, let's say you're on the Mac and you have the Mac OS application, I believe that shows you all the data in it too. So you should be able to find out if you got your snapshot. You're pretty sure that you got in before the snapshot time though?
If that shot was 2 days ago. Yes.
I don't remember what block it was. It was like an exact moment that the snapshot happened. So everyone was sort of like in a rush to figure that shit out. But hopefully you got what you're supposed to get. Good luck to you, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You can also search your address in Finder. That would be much. And you can check out the vesting Luna and the Luna you can get. Yeah. Also, it's an easy way. No need to connect your station.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there are different ways to do it, but yeah, and then we're waiting for different dApps and things to open up. I'm not sure if anyone has posted any actual dApps that are actually open right now. For you to be able to sort of like buy any other altcoins or anything else. So, not sure. HD Canada, what's up?
Hey, I got a question. So, did Binance remove Luna Classic, and are they going to relist it? And do you know what?
My understanding is they'll do probably similar to KuCoin. They'll probably have both so that you can eventually sell your Luna Classic, any UST that you might have, you'll be able to buy and sell new Luna. I think from what the previous gentleman said that hopefully the trading and everything will be opened up within the day.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know for sure. I would definitely follow Binance on Twitter, and I'm sure they're going to announce exactly when all that happens.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
But I do know on KuCoin, for example, New Luna was opened, and I got an airdrop there of some Luna that was dropped to me by KuCoin. I can confirm that I was able to sell some of my Luna that I got in the airdrop today. I was able to send that to KuCoin wallet as well. So I was okay there. The system is functioning.
Yeah. So KuCoin is fine. To both of my trading account, I received the 300 like new Luna. So yeah, KuCoin is fine. I was just wondering, it's like, Binance is continuing with Luna Classic, or it's like as I searched and it didn't show up, so probably they just delaying.
Yeah, not 100% sure what they're doing, so keep an eye on it. Cool. Let me see. I think a couple more questions here. I've got kind of some work to do today, so I'm not going to be hanging around too long. But I can get a couple more questions. Habib, you there?
Good day, brother. What's the idea of the long period of airdrops distribution? And is it possible for UST to regain trust again? Thank you.
Yeah, two things. One is the long vesting period, I think, is made so that, like, not all the coins are simply dumped, so that people, you know, have, like, you know, there's some residual, like, value left in the coin without having all of it drop. You know, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think it just depends on your perspective. I think the idea here is that, you know, the old chain is essentially, you could argue, is like semi-useless, and the new chain, you know, like the new chain, the idea is like you want to have some sort of token economics that favor the long-term success of the chain. Whether this is the right, like, distribution and plan, I have no idea. They just pick something. And I think the new system was definitely unfair to some people, like severely so, and maybe benefited other people a bit more. So the vesting period, it is what it is. I don't know if it's the right thing or not. As far as UST, I think number one, as far as the project is concerned, like, the UST old Luna mechanism is basically broken, and UST should proceed like to zero, essentially. I wouldn't necessarily go buy it or whatever if I were you. And there's not at this point, any kind of plan that I'm aware of to introduce any kind of algo stablecoin type thing to the market on Terra 2 at all. So the way you can look at Terra 2 is basically no different than a normal Cosmos layer one chain. And the benefits that people get from being on Terra version 2 is, one is there's a very large community of users. Number two, there is a fairly wide distribution of wallets. There is now a fairly wide distribution of vested stakeholders who, you know, might want this chain to succeed, because, well, now they have like airdrops and vested tokens. And number four, like, you already have a community of builders who are already used to programming in Rust, who already have functioning decentralized applications such as NFT marketplaces and other things. And those things can be pretty easily ported to Terra version 2. Terra version 2 is also fully IBC compatible, because unlike previous Terra 1, that didn't have the full interblockchain communication upgrades, this Terra chain does have those things. So it'll be a little bit easier to move assets from other Cosmos chains to Terra at this point with the new kind of, like, with the new chain upgrades and such. So I would say those are sort of the plus points. The negative points are that, you know, a lot of people that were in Luna in the first place were in it because they believed in the UST, you know, they believed in the system for a decentralized stablecoin and really wanted to succeed. So there's going to be some people that will not stick around for that reason. There's other people that liked it because Luna had a, like, hyper deflationary mechanism that was tied to the adoption of UST, which kind of made everybody interested in UST adoption and gave Luna, at least towards the upside, a very interesting tokenomic that no other coin in crypto had. So without that, the problem is that, like, you know, Terra version 2 becomes very similar to other layer one chains with an inflationary yield bearing token. So that would be kind of, I would say, a downside. And let me think, what other downs? So you know, that I think, you know, sums up the main downsides. There are some plus sides out there. There's some pluses out there, like, for example, wallets. The user interface and the wallets out there all work. They're still functioning on the app stores. You don't need to own anything new. There will be some network effect because of people that are already in the system. Also, a lot of centralized exchanges have committed to listing, you know, the new Luna. So, you know, unlike many other layer one chains that have to take forever to get listed on a lot of exchanges, there already is a fair amount of centralized exchange support for the new chain. I think the reason why the exchanges agreed to do early listing of these things is because the new chain doesn't have any risks of UST. And number two, they were trying to make sure that people that got hurt by the crash of Luna version one, you know, didn't get hurt again by not having the coin listed for their airdrops and kind of the ecosystem. So those are kind of the plus
what
side.
Is your perspective about Terra 2? Will it succeed?
Yeah, I think it'll succeed as much as any other Cosmos chain will. There's nothing specific about it that makes it worse than, you know, any other layer one in this regard. You know, like if you look at some other, like if you think about other competitors at the, let's say, $1 billion to $2 billion market cap range, you'd be thinking of like chains such as Near Protocol. You'd be thinking of things like, you know, Elrond and other things. So some of, and Kadena. So there's like 3, 4, 5 L1s out there that are potential competitors at that market cap, who also have interesting like technology behind them. But the fact that like Terra is on Cosmos, I think if you're bullish on Cosmos in general, then there's no reason to believe that cool stuff can't be built on Terra. It's a Rust-based platform. You can build really great dApps on Terra, no problem. It just doesn't have the differentiating factor of UST Luna mechanism, but everything else works just fine. In fact, everything else on Terra worked phenomenally well, you know, outside of, you know, until UST fell apart, the ecosystem was fantastic, right? Actually, the ecosystem was better than like 99% of all crypto, actually. In terms of anybody who's used Terra can attest to the fact that like it has a better overall user experience than a vast majority of things out there. That's not to say though that like other protocols can't build great user interfaces, right? So over the next year or 2 years, crypto user interfaces are going to get much, much better across many different coins. So I wouldn't say necessarily that you have to invest in Terra only for like user interface. You know, there's going to be a lot of other ones that have great work done. So, you know,
thank you, brother.
Some of those,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Does that make sense? Like, I think that's
Of course. Yeah. Oh, thank you for all these informations and God bless you. Thank you.
No problem, buddy. HD, any other comments?
Yes, Phil, I definitely got to agree with you on that. Like, I mean, it was a very unfortunate that like you, what happened to UST and the Terra fall and stuff like that. But I mean, this fall is kind of like an opportunity for a lot of people to hop on board. Because for me, right, I really didn't understand like Luna that much, because before this, like the pricing point of Luna was just not very like appealing to me. But like thanks to like, you know, all of this, I get a second chance of participating in a new change that at a like a very, very good point, you know, pricing point. And like, you know, like you said, the UX and UI design of Terra is like unbelievable, like beautiful, like everything is so fluid. Even though like, you know, I you know, like the Terra station, like this is my first time trying out the Terra station and it's so nice as well. So like, I mean, and there's so much depth, like so much team that's intelligent in the background that can like rebuild us from the ground up. And it's going to be so much fun. And that's the thing, that's the beauty of DeFi. Like DeFi, the beauty of it is like you can participate in so many fun things. And become a degenerate, because like Terra to me, like at this point, is like, you know, like this one token that like I really believe in, that's like FTM, and hopefully like, you know, we can rebuild Terra and it becomes something fun like FTM too as well, like having a lot of stuff that you can participate in and rebuild it up from the ground, because I really don't want like, you know, this team to go to waste.
Yeah, like me personally, I would say that from everything I had heard about Terraform Labs, now, you know, there's going to be internal disagreements, obviously, between different builders and different protocols and like decisions made by, you know, teams. So I'm sure like nothing was ever like it's not 100% kumbaya, like world peace type of situation. But I would say that Terraform Labs and the group there and their ability to execute, everything we heard about the overall ability to execute and build prior to this happening from everyone, from venture capital firms to other builders to people that were brought in to build on the network, all felt generally pretty good about most of their experiences with Terraform Labs. And I would stress that like during the time that this chain was running, we didn't suffer from hacks on the actual chain itself, right? The technical performance of the chain from both a Cosmos perspective, meaning Cosmos did a fantastic job of creating a so far very good system, which is has been shown to be pretty robust and work under extreme stress. And so Cosmos in general, I would say this is very bullish because the stress testing of the Cosmos networks really went really, really well from that perspective. And from a technical perspective, like he said, TFL is really, really good. If they can listen to stakeholders now, because really this is a community chain now. So the thing is, at this point, like, you know, there has to be buy-in from builders and buy-in from all the different parties to make sure that everyone wants to proceed with the various initiatives that are coming about. It is possible also to have too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, it's possible that you have too many people that want to go too many different ways and we don't get anywhere too. So that we always have to be careful about that. But I do remember when, you know, like, you know, Apple basically got, I just always bring back to like these really, really highly proficient technical teams. I remember when like Apple got crushed back, you know, when, and, you know, Steve Jobs was kicked out and, you know, the Lisa machine just was too expensive for the consumer market and everything went to shit. And then, of course, if you guys recall, like Jobs went off to, you know, support Pixar and support Next and all that shit. And then like made really good success there, then came back to Apple. And here we all are, like the entire planet has been changed by essentially the vision of like one man and his teams. And I still reject the idea that somehow TFL or Doe or whoever is a bunch of scammers or whatever. Like if they could have run any number of scams if they wanted to. That would be more, or actually it's more lucrative for them, I should say, to have the chain working than to have this type of shit happen. So this idea that somehow, oh, they're scammers, I reject all that nonsense. There's no evidence of that at this point, of any type that is the case. So I think, and then this idea that Terra V2 is some sort of like, just like exit liquidity for people that were in the system before or something like that. You could always say that about anything. So at this point, like, who cares? You could say that about Apple shareholders when Steve Jobs came back. Hey, look, the stock price pumped, and I'm sure there was exit liquidity for people that left and sold their Apple stock. But like, if they did, well, they're gonna wish they would have wished they didn't. Come 2022, Apple stock price, right? So you know, you would have made like, you know, a good 1000x or whatever. And so point is, like, the you know, I think whether you trust this new system enough, or whether you believe it has a vision or a place in the new you know, universe of like dApps and new universe of L1s, that's up to you as an individual to decide. It's going to be up to individual builders to decide, do they want to build on Terra, whether they want to take previous projects and port them over, move them here. I think a lot of people will move. I don't see that there's at least half the folks, I think, will probably use Luna version 2, and then it's going to be back to building up a user base again. And that can happen over the next several years. So we'll see. But that's my, you know, now granted, like, that comes from the position of someone who has a shit ton of vested Luna. It's going to unlock over 2025. So if I'm going to say positive things, I guess, like, take that with a grain of salt in that, like, I have a vested interest here in making the chain work. So that's my full disclosure. So anyway,
by the way, the price of Luna 2 already come to your double petition price is $3 already. Oh, $4.
Yeah,
maybe you can double that price after this basis.
Yeah, I figured that would drop. Yeah, I think, you know, there's not going to be that much buying pressure until, like, you know, it's price discovery. So we're in negative price discovery now for a new coin. And you have plenty of airdropped coins and such that are going to be sold. That selling will happen over the next probably several days, kind of aggressively. I do think some bargain buyers are going to step in somewhere in the middle there. And you might have some, like, token price pumps and this and that in between. Who knows? So, but I'm not trying to speculate on these wild price swings. I'm going to look for anyone know what the market cap is right now? Do you have the market cap with you? Let me see if I can find that information somewhere. Let's see here. CoinMarketCap is saying that there's still a fully diluted market cap of 4.22 billion for the billion token supply. Which technically speaking is all in the hands of community. So there's some vested, but technically it's, you know, for all intents and purposes, fully distributed. And, looks like there's like $100 million worth of volume moved today. It pumped all the way up to like $19.54 somewhere. And, its actual market cap is not calculated either on the market cap is not technically calculated on either CoinGecko or CoinMarketCap. So maybe that'll happen over the next few days. Let me see if one of these other guys wants to hop up here. I've got Farzad here. Farzad, go ahead, brother. What's up? Farzad, can you hear me? Or GamerGov, you there?
Yes, we can hear you, Sip.
Or OC, what's up, man?
How do it?
Good, good. What's happening?
I've just one question, Safi, or a recommendation or insight, I mean, from you or all the team here. What if someone, I mean, I do plan to invest again in Luna Classic.
Oh, in Classic?
Exact.
Now, what's your rationale for doing that? Just to kind of have some fun, or what? Or do you think the chain's going to go somewhere?
Exactly. I mean, we can see that it, for the time being, it's dumping, and maybe from, I mean, in six months, this will pump again. Maybe it will burn one or two zeros.
Yeah, but you think, like, but the thing is that it probably risks delisting at some point from exchanges, right?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I think if you're going to speculate on it, or just for fun or whatever, realize a couple of things. One is there's not, like, if you're going to use the DEXs that remain on Terra, let's say Astroport. You may not have a actual like trading pair of the stable coin. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll add the new Luna. So Luna C Luna might be an
exact
a LP at some point, so you can move off your wallet. Mm-hmm. some of the speculative interest in the coin will die down if many exchanges delist Luna C, the old Luna, which I think is highly probable in the American market, at least. Like, I think it's probable that, like, I think it's probable that Coinbase will not relist it. I think it's probable that, like, Gemini and a few others. So, from a speculative angle, I think it's not the same as like buying Dogecoin low or something, right? It's the problem is that, I'm not planning on messing around with it, honestly. I think there's so many other, like, if I'm going to speculate on something that's a really small market cap coin, there's just plenty of other options out there, right? Yeah. Like, there's tons of little things. Like, the entire market has been crushed, like, anywhere between 85 to 95%, depending which coin you have. And in the altcoin space, there's so many things that are at distressed values that I think will probably go up a lot. So, you know, I don't feel strongly compelled to play games with the old coin personally. That's just me. Anyway, do what you want.
Thank you for the advice. Yes, makes sense.
Yeah, no problem. Gamer, what's up? You there?
Yeah, thanks for making me a speaker. I just wanted, I think somebody said about something about price speculation of the new token that it's already dumping. I think what's happening with the price, and it's just from watching it over the last 8 hours, I think what ended up happening is that Bybit listed Luna 2, but they didn't enable deposits. So the price skyrocketed because people could only buy it. So the chart, in my view, actually looks a little bit worse than it deserves, because there's going to be a lot of downward pressure as people claim their tokens and deposits open up. So in my view, that it'll settle in the very low single digits. But that's where I would expect it to be honest. I mean, it had no right being $20.
So based on, no, of course not. Yeah, the pump and dump is just a given. But like, yeah, the Luna C token, if you had bought UST or Luna prior to the snapshot, if you look at the demand for UST and Luna pre-snapshot, that would predict an approximate price for new Luna at somewhere in the $3 range, which is exactly where it is now. I think it's like, you know, $3.50-ish, right? So how much further it'll go down from this moment forward is the question. And then, you know, I think you have to be careful in that whatever sort of pump could happen, you know, like, let's say, for example, you have some speculators jump in at sub $3, like $2, $1, you know, I think you'll have some kind of like speculative pump based on bargain basement buyers. And then, you know, you'll probably have an additional sell off. So there's going to be some, you know, it'll take like 6 months or so to sort of find bottom for this new coin. I think people should be careful.
Yeah, I think what has to happen first is that every CEX has to drop it, airdrop the new token. That's going to be selling pressure. And once that clears out, we'll find out what it's really worth. I think Bybit did the price dirty by not enabling deposits, but enabling trading. But it's okay. I mean, once that $20 price gets forgotten, we'll figure out what the real price is. That's kind of what I'm going on.
Yeah, and anywhere that has like futures trading available, I think you're going to get some gamblers too. So if they open up, I didn't check KuCoin if they have any kind of margin here. Hold on, let me see real quick. Let's see what we got here. Luna. Yeah, the Luna isolated and cross margin has not opened yet. So I don't think it's possible to I don't think it's possible to short or long Luna at this point. Yeah, I see no perpetuals either. So you know, but oftentimes Binance and Bybit, places like that, are going to open that first. So the futures trading and the leverage trading is what gets you the crazy ass like pumps and volatility. So I think you'll have some definite action when those open as well. So a lot of things to look forward to. Let me get BG on for just a minute. I've got to run into work here in a second, so I think I'll break after BG, and then we can do something else. I think this afternoon, by the way, at I think 3 o'clock or so. Let me see what time. Let me see here. Where am I right now? Okay, I'm on. Okay, yeah, about 5 hours or so. We're gonna have a discussion with the founder of Flux Network. I'm gonna have a chat with him for a bit about their projects happening. So if I'll be back on this afternoon either way, talking about that a little bit. That has nothing to do with Luna necessarily, just generally about what their projects are doing. But let me see here. BG, go ahead, man.
Hi, Zeppi. I think I just got in now, so I'm not sure whether we have already talked about it regarding the price, because as we mentioned previously, that our estimation for the new Luna valuation will be around 1 to 4 billion. I think I sold it at around 8.3, but now I think it's around 4. Seems like it's around 4.4, something like that. So, but I assume that after several days later, I think after Binance listed, that just like someone said before, there will be another round of selling pressure, which might drop the price even, which might push the price even lower. But even so, I assume that my personal feeling is that the Binance listing, the selling pressure, there will be a relatively long-term bottom, which probably, I don't know how much it will be. I think probably will be around $1 to $4 or something like that. But just like you said just now, I heard it's after in 6 months. I think during these 6 months will be the good time for us to DCA the new Luna, because even though I lost everything during the previous one, so I still believe that it will gradually pick up, because given that someone said in the Twitter that Duquan can put up Terra 2 in several weeks, versus it will take 5 years for ETH to get to ETH 2.0. So we already see that there's he can do something, given his ability and given the big lessons he have already learned. So my feeling is that after next week, and there will be a long time for us to gradually pick up. The chips of the new Luna. So that's my what I'm feeling.
Yeah, and judging by like I think where other layer ones are right now, like let's take some examples. Let me pull up Near for a second. So Near is like a sharding layer two protocol. It's sitting at a market cap of 3.4 billion with a fully diluted market cap of about 5 billion. You've got, let's see, where is eGold at? EGLD is sitting at like 1.5 billion market cap with most of its supply out there already. So that is more or less the fully diluted market cap. So it's only about 1.5 billion. And then you have, let's look at Juno, for example, since that's like a direct theoretical like comparator on Cosmos. And it's got a $5.63 price. Its market cap is 290 million with a fully diluted valuation of 1 billion. That's the other thing too, is I think, so Terra represents a very specific opportunity cost, and there are coins and such that are cheaper than Terra in terms of market cap, but I think there are chains that don't have any prior sort of like psychological baggage, so to speak. But at the same time, there's a huge user base on Terra compared to some of those other platforms. So I think like Elrond has like maybe a million users, and you know, I don't know how many of those are even active because there's like one DEX on the platform and not much else you can do there. So I think the thing to do, what everyone should do, if you want to do some research, is I would sort of like get a list of all the layer ones, get a list of the layer ones that are below the market cap of Terra, get some around the same level, and then start like downloading some wallets, looking at some ecosystems, and actually playing around. And that should give you a little bit better feeling for like what you believe Terra version 2 should actually be quote unquote worth, right? It's got a user base substantially larger than Juno. So I think $250 million market cap is too low. That would put like Luna at a sub-dollar price, because if you think about it, there's a billion tokens. So a dollar Luna would essentially imply that there's a $1 billion fully diluted market cap. So if it's close to Juno, that would be close to like, let's say 35 cents. On the other hand, like $1.5 billion market cap for Elrond, which doesn't have like the Cosmos networking involved, is another valuation. And I think somewhere between the, you know, half a billion dollar and $1.5 billion market cap is probably fair for Terra, in my view. And so the $1 to $3 range, somewhere in that neighborhood, you know, makes sense to me. Maybe you guys can comment on that. Any theories as far as like,
my
thoughts, how I'm like coming up with those numbers.
Just adding what you said. Actually, I've already listed on those tier one, I mean layer one chains. I think current at the moment it's very difficult for us to judge by that. I think because given that the current price is around 4.4, which is around 5 billion, which is similar to the fully diluted value of the Kronos, and a little bit which is a little bit below the Polygon. Polygon is 5.7 billion. The recent one is Kronos, which is 5 billion. But I mean, I think at the moment it's very difficult to say. The reason is because that we need to see that how much TVL is locking. Because for Kronos, for example, that its current TVL is 1.7 billion. And for Polygon, it's around 2.7 billion. So this is just one TVL, one thing. The second thing is regarding the ratio, regarding the market cap and the TVL ratio. And for example, like Polygon is the market cap and TVL ratio is 1.6. Kronos is a little bit high, is all around 2.7. So of course, the market cap and TVL ratio is regarding the current circulating value, right? So I'm much more looking at the fully diluted value, which is, I think, is more related to how much TVL it can gather. But according to what we understand now, I mean, some of the big ones like Anchor, Astroport, etc., they've already supported that, which means that if there is a high possibility they will gather the majority, I mean, especially Anchor, the majority of the TVL will come along with it, even though there might be some losses during the course. So at the moment, purely speculation, no idea. But I mean, what I would say is, after the setting pressure of the sex from the sex, we will see what the bottom will be, and gradually we will see how much TVL it will be. We don't need to be rushed, but we can just look at how much TVL it can get, and then we DCA along with it. If the trend is going up good, but even if it is going up good, and it's going up gradually, pick up gradually, so we can DCA along with.
Yeah, I hope everyone's paying attention to what he's saying. Like, what BG's saying is totally accurate. Like, you know, as far as like metrics you can use, there's total market cap, There's the market cap in reference to how much total value is locked with the different protocols in the system. And now we're sort of starting over from scratch on TVL, right? So that's the problem. So what he's saying is, if you're watching over a period of time and you say, okay, look, let's see how much is how much money is put into Astroport. Let's see how much money is locked into Anchor. Add all that up, and then you'll get your total value locked in the ecosystem. And that'll give you start giving you a sense of like how popular the new dApps and everything else are. So DeFi Llama and places like that have some of that data, and we'll have to watch that really over a period, honestly, like over the next year or two. So I would say, like, from my perspective, I'm looking at this as just a fresh start, and I would like to see, you know, the I would like to see the base price of the ecosystem run at like maybe a billion-ish market cap. If I could get it, that would be good. And then if we can get like over, like, let's say the next few years, if we could be at a market cap back to the, like, you know, if we can get back to $5 to $10 billion range, that would be pretty awesome. Obviously there'll be peaks and troughs. So you'll have peaks where, you know, you might have bull market craziness where people pump the price up to $10 on leverage or something. But then you'll have other situations where that will dump. So what you really want to see is higher lows over time and over a period of years, I guess. And years is a long time in crypto, obviously, because other competitors will emerge. You'll have other chains on Cosmos. You'll have like a more crypto vying for the public's attention, right? So whoever can spin the best narratives ultimately tends to get the most new users and such. So a lot of things to consider there. Actually, I'm going to get Tokir last. I've got to run to work here, but let me get him on for just a second. He's waiting here. Tokir, what's up, man? You surviving? I'm hoping your mic works. Tokir, are you there? Maybe. He might be having connection issues. Anyway, in either case, I think we'll break for now. I've got to get to work, and then I'll catch up at in about 5 hours. I've got Flux Network on with Daniel Keller, the founder, and I want to kind of hear what the state of their project is and such. Anyway, be careful out there, everybody, and I guess you know, we're on the maiden voyage of Terra V2, and like break that champagne bottle on the ship, and like let's get this like thing rolling, I guess. See what we can accomplish, guys. All right, we'll catch you later. Thanks for being on, guys.
Bye. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Thank you, sir.
Later on, OC. All right, catch you later. Yeah.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the CeFi Space Luna Today Again, recorded on Saturday, May 28th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay, Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way, resuscitating major players in the waiting room, sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools, breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom, slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom, sitting in the dark waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth, stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio, trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role, sorting through support from your endorsements, of course we're tripping balls, handed reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop, picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me when I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hid the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines, and I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise, chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change
face of you. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2.
Terror Spaces.